My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
Can you tell I have a master's degree? I could just like bullshit about like anything.
That is scathing.
Metaphorical boobs.
Yelling at each other about all the sex we're not having.
But I content warned for feet because some people don't want to see feet.
I just want to thank Jesus and God and Russian Jesus and Russian God.
Gender is today a human girl in prison.
I hate the world. Hold on, I'm just finishing my muffin. Welcome back to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I am Neda. Hi, welcome back, or welcome if this is your first time. We're so happy to have you. Megan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great because the season is underway. There's literally skating happening right now. We're not watching it because we're doing this.
We are not. We're recording this at the time of the Finlandia Trophy Lady Short Program. I do have the score page up. I'm just like checking in on it as we go.
So before we get started with our coverage, we're going to do something called, that I'm calling, Breaking News Corner, because... skaters be breaking things. So many injuries keep happening. It's almost like it's a dangerous sport.
Yeah, it's a conversation we've been having, but I feel like going into this season, it's so early on and it's already like such a thing.
Yeah, like, so just quick overview. The following people have pulled out of at least one Grand Prix assignment. Ting Sui, which I'm so bummed about.
I am very sad about that. I hope she's doing okay. I hope she's resting now because she went back to training after an injury and then re-injured herself. So that's not great. But I hope this is like the time she needs to recover and time for nationals, hopefully.
We want her to be world champion someday, so she's got to rest up.
Yeah. Who else?
Misha, my son Misha.
Yeah, God.
It's like the second he moves out of my house and gets married, he stops taking care of himself and his sinuses get all whack again.
Well, to be fair, they were horrible all of last season as well. So you weren't taking great care of him either, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I'm a bad mom. So probably because I was 4 when I had him.
Yeah, that would explain a lot of things about his upbringing. But no, seriously, he is having surgery for his sinuses. As of right now, he has pulled out of all of his Grand Prix assignments. Some sources said that he's pulled out of like the entire season, but we don't officially know that yet. Like, if he ends up having a good surgery recovery, he might be back in time for nationals or Euros or something. But I'm not sure how hopeful to be about that.
Yeah, so get well soon. My Mihara's arthritis is the arthritis again, right? That's bothering her. I am so sad about that because it is my understanding that that's not something that goes away. And I just want her to be like pain-free and skate so beautifully. So feel better, Mai. And I have on our list that Romain Ponsard is... That was the worst. I speak French. I need to do better than that. That Romain Ponsard.
There you go. That was acceptable.
That was gurgly enough for you.
He pulled out of Skate America, but he has not pulled out of IDF. And if he does, I'll be so pissed off. No, but seriously, I hope he is, as with everyone else, taking care of himself and resting up. I think it's his back.
To clarify, Netta will be pissed because they're going to the IDF.
Oh yeah,
and want to see him. No, we have, but I don't know who. I don't know how much people keep track.
I just want to see him. His health is my first priority, obviously, but I'll be doing a lot of traveling to see people skate, and people keep pulling out of the Grand Prix, and I'm very scared that I'm gonna be by myself in the arena. No one's gonna be there to skate.
So. Feel better, everyone. Don't skate on injuries. If you skate injured and endanger yourself, we will show you what it is to really be in pain because we'll come beat you up because we love you so much. I'm talking like Griffin McElroy again.
That is deeply terrifying. Please do not do that. We are not going to beat anyone up. But also we missed mentioning Elizabeth Tursunbaeva, who as of yesterday has also pulled out of both of her Grand Prix assignments because her back is bad.
I cannot believe I didn't mention her. I'm so glad that she's taking the time.
Yeah.
Because, like...
I was honestly scared that they wouldn't let her. I'm sad that it's, like, bad enough for her to need this, but knowing, like, the regimen she has and, like, the training requirements she's under, I appreciate that she's been given time to, like, heal and rest up, because medals are fun and competing is fun, but, like, being able to move your body is something that she needs for, like, another, like, 80 years, so...
Yeah, I'm literally on a hot pad as I record this, because I lifted a suitcase. So I can't even, imagine throwing down a quad cell and being like, I don't know, should I rest? Like, just, yeah, I'm glad you're resting.
Yeah. So this is the very grim opening of our episode.
But we're a comedy show.
Yeah, this is a comedy podcast. We just care about people very much.
Yeah, that was a grim opening. Maybe next time we won't open with that. But on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Challenger series so far, which is to say everything that has happened up through like 1 o'clock Eastern time on October 11th.
This is so weirdly specific. As of right now, 7 women have skated in the Ladies Short program at Finlandia. We're not going to talk about them.
It would be insane to try and cover every single event because there's been like a lot of them. And it takes us 900 years to cover one event. So instead, what we've done is we've each compiled our top 5 moments from the Challenger series so far. We're saying they're our top 5 most challenging moments, and some are challenging in a good way, some are challenging in a bad way. They've each challenged us in a different way that we're going to outline.
It's a very smart structure, and I promise it's gonna work.
The fact that you said it makes me feel like you don't actually think it's gonna work.
No, it's gonna be great. I'm very excited about it. I actually think very, very cute.
Thank you. Do you want to start?
Yes. Okay. I want to start. I want to start kind of going backwards chronologically because I'm going to talk about the Nebelhorn Trophy, and I'm not even going to talk about the people who won. I want to acknowledge my girl, Sasha Fagan, who ended up in fourth by like under half a point under Nicole Schott from Germany. And I'm so very proud of her. She skated so beautifully, both of her programs, and she looked more confident than usual and just a lot more secure in what she was doing, which I love seeing from her. She is currently at the Dennis Stenn Memorial Trophy, I guess, and she was third in the short program in that as well. I don't know when they're doing the free skate, so I don't know how she's going to end up doing. But she's been doing so well across the board so early in the season. I'm very excited for her. So this has been a challenging moment because I've been challenging the Bulgarian sports media to start caring because they never, ever show us anything about figure skating on like the sports news, which is very annoying because she is doing so well, and we hear a lot about people in other sports who are not doing as well but are like seen as national heroes, and it's very annoying to me, and I am challenging the Bulgarian sports media to start caring because we have a bunch of promising talent. There's also like Maria Lavushkina, who's been doing pretty well, and Kristina Georgieva, I think is her name, who was just at, I think, Finlandia as a junior or one of them. We have a bunch of young talent. We used to be so big into figure skating or like, I guess, ice dance like 15 years ago. And it was such a like national activity, the way that like rhythmic gymnastics is. And I need that to be back. So I challenge my media to pay attention. Yes, that's my first moment. Whew. What's your first moment?
From my first moment.
My first moment is the Mariah Bell work bitch famine 2019, which challenged my faith in God. I literally had like a countdown on Twitter of like, we're gonna see work bitch. We're gonna see Mariah Bell's work bitch program. We've been edged for so long. We got the previews from like Adam Rippon, and like Instagram and stuff. And then she skates out looking like a million bajillion dollars. She had like the lipstick and the high pony and like the black clubbing dress with the cold shoulder situation. And yes. And then all of a sudden, the stream to the Nebelhorn Trophy cuts out and does not come back. And it was the only, like, there's no fan cam. There's nothing. It's like it never happened. It's like time itself, like, rended itself and just sucked the fucking short program into the void. And no one has any fucking footage of it. So we still haven't seen it. And I'm, like, pressed about it. It was, like, my number one most anticipated moment. And I mean, Mariah herself probably doesn't even have footage of it. Like, where is it? So I was upset, and I'm still upset very clearly. She won the event, but...
I wish I could have seen it. God, there's so much hammering going on.
I do hear that. Is it possible that your neighbors are, like, having sex, but they're bad at it?
No. No, there's been, like, some renovations going on next door, I guess.
That's okay.
Can you...
It's okay. I think our listeners understand that apartment life is, like, wacky and zany.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's quirky. I was gonna say before, like, the whole short program thing at Nebelhorn, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna see Mariah's thing and I'm gonna be changed for the rest of my life. And I was, but truly not in the way I anticipated. I deeply lost something of myself the second that stream cut out.
It was like a Rod Serling, like, ironic Twilight Zone God moment where they heard you and they gave you what you wanted, but not what you wanted.
They gave me what I deserved. Okay, so we're two down. I have a list of things. I guess the second thing I really want to talk about is something that when it was happening, I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to get on the podcast and talk about it. And by the time it was time to record, they fixed it. I do mean Satoko's dress.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think we need to acknowledge it just because I feel like it's unfair to pretend it didn't happen and it was clearly a faux pas. And obviously, the reaction of the people was heard and changes were made.
Like, very long story short, Satoko Miyahara came out at the US Classic doing her much anticipated Schindler's List program, and we were like, oh wow, this dress is cool, it's like gray. And she turned around and we were like, oh cool, the straps make a design in the back. And then it was like, oh, the design is a Jewish Star of David. And okay, couple things. As we discussed when we talked about Kaori Sakamoto's weird sexy nun exhibition that she did last year, it is my understanding that Japan's relationship with religious iconography is more like aesthetic than semiotic. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like it's...
Yeah, almost, no, that yeah. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we're getting up and, like, Roland Barthes in this.
I guess, like, what I'm trying to say is that I don't think that there was any ill intention, and I think that it was probably just like, oh yeah, it's a pretty design objectively, and it signifies something to do with the program, the context of the movie that the music came from. Yeah, yeah, let's roll with it. And, like...
I believe it was by, I don't want to misspeak, but I think the designer is Brazilian. Yeah, it's Brazilian. It's Juju Designs on Instagram. She also did, well, she's done a bunch of stuff, but, like, this season notably, she did Daniel Grasso's blouse that you hate, my Balinese orange dress.
Okay, I do like that.
She's a great designer. She's done a bunch of stuff. Satoko's, like, really cool. Like, the jumpsuit situation is hers. The thing is, and obviously I'm not Jewish, I am, let's say, like, socially Christian, but the thing is, with the Star of David, it's not just a religious symbol the way a cross is. It carries implications of a symbol that was used to, like, single out and mark people during the Holocaust.
Yeah, specifically on clothing. Like, that's the thing, is, like, it's, like,
specifically on clothing. Yeah. And the thing is, as, like, a sultry back cutout...
I'm laughing because it's so awful, I'm sorry.
It's just... And also, like, other people pointed out, and I'm sorry, this is gonna get, like, probably unsettling and, like, upsetting if you're not comfortable with, like, talk about the Holocaust. I'm gonna keep this super brief and, like, as evocative and, like, trusting of your own imagination as possible. But some people on, like, the internet correctly for once pointed out that, like, it's a very smoky gray color and it kind of looks tattered as well. It's just...
Oh, no!
The whole dress...
I didn't even put that together.
The whole dress is deeply a mess. And I know it was not... I mean, obviously, like, in the film is black and white. I'm sure that was, like, what they were going with. It's not what it read.
Yeah, so the, it was...
On the eyes.
Yeah, it was a yikes moment. And what I was going to say is, I understand that Schindler's List is a beautiful piece of music, and I don't think people shouldn't skate to it, but I think that people just need to be so very careful about not making genocide the theme of your figure skating program.
Yeah, there is a difference between, like, a beautiful film, which was made years later in the United States and is not... You're skating to film music, you're not skating to the concept of the Holocaust. And that's a massive difference that needs to be made. I don't want to talk about it anymore because, like I said, I'm not Jewish. I don't carry that history with me. And I can only hope to speak as, like, a semi-intelligent person with some working brain cells. But it's going to come up. This film and, like, the source material is going to keep coming up because several people are skating to it. Point being, this horrible dress was removed after all of this conversation, and it was replaced by this very beautiful dress, which is still, like, a nice gray. It kind of keeps in theme with, like, the black and white of the film and all of that, but it's very pretty. It's, like, long-sleeved and has those, like, flaps that everyone's been doing, you know, like, everyone's been doing, like, tendrils coming out of, like, random places. Like, you know, Zhenya's jumpsuit and stuff. It's, like, this new trend, which is not one of my five moments, but I'd like to acknowledge it as, like, a trend alert, because it's really cool. Like, everyone looks like a stylish jellyfish, and I'm kind of into
it. I wonder if Yuzu started it. So whatever competition she was at last weekend where she debuted the new dress, it was like I was seeing it for the first time because I was not, like, horrified and distracted by the sartorial situation. I was, like, so mesmerized, and I, like, cried, and she was acting in the ever... Oh, it was... You know what it was? It was Japan Open. That's why I can't remember, because it wasn't Challenger.
Yeah.
It was Japan Open. Okay.
She is such a fucking performer. I argued with a stranger on the internet about this. I don't usually do that because I value, like,
yes,
what little sanity I have left.
You argue on the internet with strangers, like, once a week.
Yeah, I try not to. The point here being... I don't understand how you can watch her and claim that she can't perform or, like, interpret a piece of music, regardless of how you feel about her technical performance, which is she's graceful and beautiful and, like, whatever. Her jumps need work. According to some people, she's not throwing quads out. I don't care. She's such a performer. Like, this, especially at, like, a Japan Open, whoever was behind the camera, they did, like, this, like, close-up of her face at the very end, and she just looks like she's feeling this and understanding it. Honestly, she's such a good performer, and I'm very excited to get to see this program again without, like, the discourse.
And this is, like, a little bit of a trend that I'm seeing this year that I didn't notice so much last year, but people kind of interacting with their costumes a little bit, and she, those little, like, flaps, for lack of a less disgusting word, that are, like, kind of coming off of her costume.
Tendrils.
She has this thing coming off her shoulder, and then she kind of reaches over and, like, clutches it to her mouth like a handkerchief at the end, and I, like, lost my shit. I was like, that's genius. There's also a moment which I think we're not, I don't think Bo-Yang is on our list because I can't. I love him, but it's just a lot. He has some choreography at some point where he, like, clutches his shirt and, like, pulls it away from him and then, like, follows it and, like, goes forward. And that's cool. Like, little moments like that that I'm like, this is a cool trend where we're, like, acknowledging that we're people wearing clothes. One thing I want to say about Sotoko, my final thing, and this is, I think, maybe the most important thing. It's possible that I've just done a really good job of insulating myself from the kinds of weirdos on the internet that I don't want to see. But I didn't see really anybody being like, fuck Satoko, she's canceled, unstan, bitch. Like, I didn't see any of that. And that was my big fear, because I was like, I know she didn't do this on purpose. Please just, like, give her the space to, like, absorb the information, change her costume, and let's just let it go. Okay, so my next thing is, in relation to interactive costumes, we have to talk about Shcherbakova and Trusova's costume reveals this season, because Sambo must have watched an early season of Drag Race. Someone at Sambo.
Sambo must have watched, like, a bootleg of Cinderella, like the version from, like, 2014 with the William Ivy Long costumes. You know, with Laura Osnes as Cinderella.
Or, like, any production of Into the Woods. I'm just thinking, I just feel like, here's the thing.
Yeah. Here's the tea.
Okay. I have a couple cups of tea on this one, and I'm gonna pour them individually. One, like, just as you said, for anybody who watches Drag Race or has been paying attention to theater at all in the past, like, 30 at least years, knows that, a costume reveal, like, a dress that you then, like, unfasten at the top, and then it's, like, a different dress on the inside, which is what's going on with Shcherbakova and Trusova. If you haven't...
Spoiler alert.
They sort of, like, quote-unquote change dresses mid-program.
Do you think you ruined the magic for someone just now?
Yeah, I think somebody may have actually believed. I mean, Shcherbakova does actually give off, like, adorable fairy vibes. Like, maybe they really thought she was a Tinkerbell from Russia. Which, you know, maybe. But here's why it rubbed me the wrong way. Spoiler alert, I don't like it. I think the dresses are all pretty. Same. I think they're all aesthetically nice-looking dresses. Except for the fact that I think that all four total dresses in question would have been nicer if they didn't have to transform. So, like, your mileage may vary on that. But here's why it rubbed me the wrong way. One, it's, like, this thing of, like, ooh, you've never seen this before. And it's, like, yeah, we have in a million other media. And also, like, a bunch of people have done this before. Maybe not last season, but they're not the first skaters to ever do it. Like, I feel like Laureen Le Cavalier did it at some point, right? And didn't May Berenice do it too?
She did, like, 2016 or something. Yeah.
So the French have...
So France has already done this.
Francoise has been in it, to use their own parlance, avant-garde about this for years. But no, Sambo's like, this is our thing.
I think it's disrespectful to an audience to pretend that it's something that's brand new when it's not. With the Sambo girls, and it's not because, whatever, I don't like Sambo or like any of the things that are recorded very well on this podcast, there's this air of like tricking, like gaslighting this audience into thinking we've never seen it before. And that's disrespectful to me as an audience member, because I've seen it so many times.
We are very much talking about it as though, like, with a certainty that it is being presented as though it's the first time it's ever been done. And that's, I can't really put my finger on why that feels like the case, but it does, like, this.
It's because, honestly, it's part, I don't even know if it's them or, like, their camp or any of that. It's a lot of the internet ended up being like, oh my god, incredible figure skater dress reveal. Like, it made its way into, like, normie social media outside of, like, figure skating social media. And that really, like, annoyed me for all the reasons I've already listed.
So I was gonna say, like, I don't think anybody from Sambo ever came out and said, we invented this. But it does have that feel to it. And it's not, maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it is social media. Maybe it's the fact that I'm already a little salty sometimes to see them get all the credit for, like, women doing quads when, like, you know, we're, like, sort of ignoring that, like, there have been a lot of other women who've been either doing quads or attempting quads or whatever in the past, so.
Maybe I'm jaded. Maybe, like, I come from a lot of, like, drag and theater, and, like, other people are, like, dazed, and that's great for them. This is my podcast. I was very bugged. I'm sorry I stepped in your moment.
So there's a couple things. So we've talked about how it feels like a claim of innovation where it's really not that innovative, even within figure skating, but, you know, definitely not within the context of performance at large. Okay, so we've covered that. The second thing, and I think this is the biggest thing for me, is why does it bother me so much when they do it and not when, like if it had been, like, you know, May Berenice, which it was at one point, why is that not piss me off so much? Okay, and here's why. And of course, you know, you could say, like, oh, well, you just don't like Sambo. And it's like, that's a vast oversimplification of it, because I don't, I don't dislike those girls. I don't like the fact that their entire thing is like tech, no artistry. And then at the very end, instead of actually teaching them how to like move their arms gracefully. And granted, I know people have qualms with their tech, like the way they jump and stuff. And I don't know jack all about that. So like, I'm going to assume they're jumping fine, but I'm sure that, you know, whatever, your mileage may vary on that. But I'm like, you're not going to teach them how to like, you know, express their faces to the music or move their bodies in an aesthetically pleasing way or like any of that. You're going to put them in a dress at the very last minute and think that you're like, it's like, I feel like I'm being infantilized and treated like a baby where you're like waving keys in my face so I don't see that you're trying to feed me peas. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, just teach them how to move pretty and then they could wear anything and it would still be nice.
It's also a very dumb way to cheat your way into PCS, which they get anyway, because PCS actually rewards, like, whatever dangerous shit you've attempted, but that's a conversation for another day. And I know we just praise, like, tiny, tiny details, like Boyang doing his thing, or, like, Satoko's, like, handkerchief moment. That's tiny. I would be just as pressed, I think, if anyone, and I have to, like, check myself on that. I'm like, what if, like, Mariah Bell did, like, Britney reveal? And I feel like I would still be pissed because, first of all, this is not a drag show, as much as I'd love it to be. And secondly, it feels like, yeah, like you said, it feels like we're being distracted away from, like, other stuff that comprises the score. But, like, look at this, it's shiny and it's, like, it changed. Wait, Megan, I just realized who introduced this trend.
Who?
It was Alexander Mayorov with his reversible sequin tie.
Oh my god. I was gonna say, I actually, like, to this point of, like, well, you would like it if your faves did it. And I'm like, yes, I would like it if my faves did it. And here's why. It's not because they're my faves. It's like, they are my faves because they are good performers. And I wouldn't mind if a good performer did it. But if you're not a good performer, it feels like you're trying to cover for something instead of, like, doing something extra that you can pull off because you're a good performer, you know? And I think it's very telling, personally, to me personally, that they only did this for Trusova and Shcherbakova, who are, in my opinion, and I think probably maybe objectively, the two weakest, like, PCS component of performers of their senior girls, because Kosternaya is undeniably graceful and beautiful, and of the, like, 3A or whatever, is the one that no one is saying, like, you know, like, no one is saying, like, oh, she can't do graceful performance, like, whatever. No, she's gorgeous. And I think, as much as we've, like, shat on Zagitova last year, I think this year she's doing so much better. She's performing. I think she's got, like, a strength and a, she's getting a maturity to her. Like, she doesn't move like a flappy baby. She may move like, you know, maybe not my favorite style, but she doesn't move like a flappy baby. Mm. And likewise, I think Tursunbaeva is, like, a similarly, like, I think that this year she has much better choreo to suit her style. So it's, like, the two that they knew were going to have the hardest time, they gave them the gimmick. And it's like, oh, you think you're so fucking clever. You know, how about you just give them choreography that doesn't suck? And you know what? I am really reluctant to ever say anything that definitively critical on this podcast, because I'm like, what if I ever ran into this person? Would I say it to their face? If I ever met Daniil Gleichengaus, I would, I cannot tell you how quickly I would, no hesitation, I would be like, please, please, I just want to hear it from your shit mouth why you can't let them hold a fucking choreographical element for more than a split second. I want to know why in your brain you think that's a good choreography, Daniil. Ugh.
Wow, we're taking a break from a lot of strong emotions that are being felt on this episode to talk about ourselves and the podcast. Like, I know how people listen to podcasts. I know sometimes you hear, like, this has been everything for the week, and you just turn it off, or you get to your subway stop and you forget about it, and you never listen to the last 3 minutes. So we're catching you off guard. the last 3 minutes have moved to the middle. We have several announcements, the first one of which is that we are now on Patreon. I feel like a real grown-up, real podcast boy. It takes a lot of time and effort and editing and a lot of mental investment of us to make this podcast. We obviously love making it, which is why we keep coming back a lot all the time, and we love interacting with you guys on Twitter and Instagram and all of that, but we started a Patreon where you can show your support in a more tangible monetary way. Obviously, we understand that not everyone can do that. Obviously, we know that every single one of your podcasts probably has one of them, and it's very hard to pick and choose your favorites. But here's what we offer. For $1 a month, you get to be very special because we will shout you out basically every time we record this podcast at the very end as someone who is basically part of the team. This is like the end credits. You're part of it. Megan, do you want to tell us $5?
Yeah, sure. So in addition to having your name said a lot on the podcast, which, by the way, we've also said names like Mariah Bell, Keiji Tanaka, Shoma Uno, Yuna Kim. You could be among those names. If you give us money, we will put you, basically, you become them. You take over their lives. You get their medals for $1 a month. That's a crazy deal. Okay. So $5 a month, you get that, and once a month, we will give you our wacky bloopers reel for that month. Fun fact about this podcast is that in my iced tea folder, I have a smaller folder called Dumpster Fire. And if you want to get a sneak peek into what that's all about, what is in the Dumpster Fire folder, what is all of this cut B-roll that goes into this conflagration of trash, then you want to give us $5 a month, and every month you're going to get a sneak peek into that dumpster. So this bit is going great. It's all things like this. So that's $5 a month.
And for $7, well, you get Yuna Kim's medals, you get a dumpster fire, you also get a whole new extra bonus episode every month, which is going to be somewhat figure skating adjacent, maybe, probably, but it's mostly going to be like a short conversation about, say, a figure skating movie or something else that we want to talk about that, like, doesn't make it into the main episode, but is something that's fun and is like a little gift from us to you in exchange for $7, which is a gift, some would say, in some cultures.
I just want to say that I'm really excited about the October bonus episode that we're going to do. Our idea for the October episode is to do highlights of our favorite Halloween-y, monster-y, ooky spooky, Blues for Clooky programs. and so we're going to talk about things like vampires, monsters, werewolves, you know, everything that Jay-Z talks about in his verse of Monster we'll cover on ice. So, yeah, $7 a month for that. Where can they do that? What's the URL for that?
That is patreon.com/iced pod. That is patreon.com/iced pod. You can read all about the tiers there if you zoned out while we're talking about it. Drop us some cash. We're going to give you some rewards. It's going to be great. We appreciate you so much. Megan, what else do we want to announce real quick?
We want to announce that for the rest of the season, certainly at least through the end of the calendar year, we're going to be weekly because skating happens so much and we want to cover all of it, and we will.
If you haven't looked at a calendar, the Grand Prix is every single damn week starting next week.
It's all around you. It's all the time. Look in your backyard. There's a Grand Prix event happening there right now.
I just want to say real quick, if you can't or don't want to give us any Patreon support, that's perfectly fine. Like I said, we understand. What you can do, and is completely free, is give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. The purple icon, iPodcasts, whatever that app is called. You can find us there. Give us 5 stars. Leave a review. It truly means a lot, mostly because, like, that's how people find the podcast more. And it's completely free. I know it's annoying. It takes like a couple seconds to remember your Apple ID and all of that. But after that, you can make us very happy for completely free. So do that and tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. I feel like that's the other way that we get new listeners, is just people being like, haha, this is funny. And then their friends are like, what? And that's exactly how that conversation goes. So make that happen in your life.
This has been announcements.
Amazing. Now go to, don't be late for homeroom.
I've never had, I don't know what homeroom is.
Oh my God, you're so European. What did you, like, sit in a ski chalet and drink coffee while you got your announcement?
Okay, we're back with more moments. There's so much challenging stuff. Megan, what do we have left to talk about?
Well, I just want to say, I guess to keep with the theme, I do need to put my little button on my last rant. I'm sorry I got a little carried away. It challenged my blood pressure to think about Daniil and all of his tricky ways. I don't like being tricked. It is your turn, I believe, to talk about something.
I want to talk about something that's fresh in my mind, and this one is going to be short, I think, and it's not just because it's about Shoma. Thank you. I'll be here all night. We're the same height, Shoman. He's actually taller than me. It's fine. It's something that was not on the list when we wrote this episode outline, because it just happened a couple hours ago. The Finlandia Trophy men's short program, first of all, was lit. Like, a lot of great performances from many people. I'm not going to list them, but Shoma showed off a new costume for his Great Spirit program. First of all, this is the best costume. I know I was so adamant that if he was going to do that, he should have kept like the D-squared tattoo mesh thing and the very expensive jeans. I take that back. He has a new costume. It's really, really cute. It's like blue and orange. It's weird and like shiny. Friend of the podcast, Daniel, said that he looks like Tron or like Avatar, one of them. We're not sure which one.
Netta, you didn't like the one that he had, the intermediate one where he looked like business casual Spider-Man?
No, it was like distracting to me that he looked like he was going to Comic-Con. No, but yeah, but he skated. He's currently in second by like a fraction of a point as of right
behind
now. Behind Soda Yamamoto. Is that his name? Yes,
oh,
it is.
Right. Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
by
yeah.
like a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. It's literally like they both have like 92 point something, which great scores, like outstanding scores, but it's like a tiny fraction of a thing. So we'll see what happens in the free skate. But Shoma skates this short program with the energy that it had when it was an exhibition, and it's still like so fun, and he looks so much more mature compared to last year, and there's just like this weird, like dark clubby vibe about it, and like with all the weird chanting as well. And it's just, I put it on Twitter, but I'm gonna quote myself, it took me to like a club I didn't know I wanted to be at. And I think, like, in competition, this is the first time I've, like, really bought it. Like, my heart was racing by the end of it. I was watching with Daniel, friend of the podcast, and by the end of it, he was like, this has only been, like, 30 seconds, right? And I'm like, no, this was a full thing. It just goes so fast and, like, so hard. So, yeah, this is a moment that I just wanted to acknowledge, because it's, like, fresh on my mind. He did super well. Some of his landings were very cheeky, but, you know, we're getting there. It's just so exciting to see him kind of, like, embrace this contemporary side of him, because we've never, like, really seen that so much in competition.
Well, we've seen it in exhibitions, and we've always thought that it was, like, when he did See You Again, I wept, and I was like, God, he's so good at, like, understanding, like, lyrical contemporary music, or in this case, like, club bangers.
Yeah, I'm just excited that we get to see that, like, when it matters now.
How did that challenge you, Netta?
I think I challenged my neighbors because I was actively cheering, like, a lot. Also challenged my previous perception that I was like, nothing else will do. This one costume with the jeans is perfect. Please don't change it. And now I'm like, maybe I should be more open to change, because sometimes change is important and valuable. And I learned that by letting go of Shoma Uno's fake tattoo mesh sleeves.
I can't believe that you don't even need therapy now because you just watched one Shoma Uno program.
That sounds about right. That's most of us on Twitter.
That's a responsible message to give to your fans on the day after World Mental Health Day.
Oh, yeah. Can we do that real quick? Yesterday was World Mental Health Day. Today is National Coming Out Day. I'm not sure in what country, but somewhere. I just want to say, yo, we love all of y'all, and you're loved and accepted, and please talk to people about like whatever is in your life. And also, we're on Twitter, and we like talking to people if you need that. But also, please make sure you have actual people to talk to in your life about things that are important. I'm very proud of you. Yes. speaking of pride, can we talk about fucking Denis Vasiliev's that's my next thing anyway, but I'm sorry, I know there has not been any official anything, but he is skating still to that beautiful beautiful piece of music called Two Men in Love, and I feel like I'm gonna keep saying this for everyone just because, like, it's been summer and we haven't seen people, but he looks so grown up. It's hard for me to comprehend that we're in a timeline where this program is something we get to see in competition and just have it be a thing without it being, like, a huge deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's like, I love the costume too. It's, I mean, Denis is not a fashion king, or depending on how you see it, he is a major fashion king, depending on your taste for weird shit. And he's Stefan's baby in that. He has like rainbows on it, which is so cute.
Yeah, no, he's worn some good things before. I do mean his exhibition from last year, that iron costume is like the one good thing he's worn. But yeah, his costume is beautiful, and I think it's such a great program, and it's just in such a subtle way, it feels like a moment that I feel like we should just see for what it is and just be like, yeah, this is a thing we get to see all season, and it's gonna be a conversation, and that's very exciting, I think, for me personally.
I agree. I love it, and I think it's possible that I was just sort of projecting on like what I thought might be going on, or I was reading too much into it. But there was like this moment after he finished the program where he seemed kind of shy, and then he looked up and then he was like, yay, I'm glad it went well. And I mean, it could just be debuting a new program, or it could be the thing of like, is this going to be a controversial program or whatever? But like, it really moved me to see him like be vulnerable in even just doing like a very lyrical contemporary piece, and then also like in a sport where sexuality is sort of always present and also never present, it's like we don't even know what his deal is, and we don't have to know. It's still a really cool thing that he did.
Yeah, we're not speculating about anything, and all of the disclaimers we gave about other stuff earlier applies here as well. We're not here to pass judgment or speculation on anyone, but I just think that I like this timeline where I get to see this program a lot in the coming season, and I'm very excited about it. So yeah, just wanted to acknowledge that.
I'm getting a robot call. It's not an exciting call from a robot, which would be the best thing that could ever happen to me. It's like, we're from your insurance company, from an insurance you don't have, and we call you once every 45 minutes until you block our number. Okay. Yeah, I agree. That challenged my belief that Denis was only gonna compete with hokey programs with yellow pants forever.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this growth from him, regardless of like whatever like personal or social implications of this particular program. I'm just excited to see him kind of grow into a skater who can afford it, a little bit of like lyrical like gravitas every once in a while, and then maybe we see yellow pants again at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry,
please don't die.
I won't die. If the following moment didn't kill me, nothing can. And that would be, you know, we're going to talk about it. You know I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about KG winning gold at the U.S. Classic,
yeah,
baby.
Boy.
I'm a trophy wife now because my husband won a trophy. No, I – thank you for laughing at the worst joke I've ever made.
It's just like the delivery. Okay, that was funny.
My number one skating crush, Keiji Tanaka, is a gold medal winner. Now, he had previously won a gold medal in his senior career, but it was at, I believe it was like the Asian Open, and that was before that was part of the Challenger Series. And so, I mean, it's an international gold medal, but it wasn't like as big of a deal. Like, this is his first Challenger medal. This is his first gold medal at all in 2 years. And he beat, like, world silver medalist Vincent Joe, which, like, our feelings for Vincent notwithstanding, is still really objectively impressive. And then our feelings for Vincent withstanding was just a fucking orgasmic thing to watch. So anyway, KG came out. He does Hip Hip Chin Chin, which is his new short program, in this, like, slutty paisley 70s, like, low v-neck shirt situation. And listen,
can I just, I'm sorry, I'm gonna interrupt you for half a second just to go on record and say I really like that shirt. Yes. I know that shirt was controversial.
No,
on
I was
the internet
just gonna say, like,
I think it's so good.
No, I think it's fantastic. It fits the program. It's different. Yeah, it's different. Like, no one else is doing it. And I understand that some people didn't like it, but they're wrong, because it's like, I felt like I just drove up to, like, a raised ranch in 1970s Southern California, and he opened the door and it swung open and he was like, "Welcome to my key party. Put your keys in this bowl. Let's swing." And that's, like, the exact vibe you want for a 90s club hit, right? I mean, that's, yep. You know, it worked. It worked in a way that I can't put my finger on. And I had the best time of my life. And then his free was Sherlock Holmes, which he did in some sort of a vest thing. I don't know. It was good. I think it's hard to skate to Sherlock Holmes because I don't feel like Sherlock Holmes has, like, a super consistent character you can portray. Like, it just depends.
Well, yeah, it really depends on, like, what Sherlock you're doing.
But even then, like, even if you pick one, it's like he solves mysteries good. That's hard to ice skate to, right? Like,
well, yeah. I mean, there is more to Sherlock, but all of it is kind of hard to embody, I guess.
I don't know. How do you skate to, I think he's doing the BBC one, right? And, like,
yeah.
And I've seen that one. That's, like, the one Sherlock thing, aside from the Robert Downey Jr. movies. Wait, is he doing the Robert Downey Jr. movie soundtrack?
I think he's doing the films, actually.
Okay, so all this to say that I didn't feel like it had as clear of a character, but he has so much time and he won, and that's all that matters to me. I only love him if he wins. Just kidding. Cutting that out. Anyway, okay, so I just need to say that KG Twitter is a very small and very active and wonderful part of Twitter. It's a weird little corner I have found myself in with, like, just a handful of other people who understand that KG is the best. And KG Twitter went buck fucking wild on this night. Like, we lost
I'm
our
so
collective shit. It was a magical, magical thing to be a part of. I'm still riding that high. And I really hope this is a good, like, portent. Is that a word? I don't know. For this season, for KG, I just, oh my God, I want him to continue and, like, really get everything he deserves. So how did this challenge me? This challenged my circulatory system, because my heart was beating so fast with adrenaline and horniness because I love ice skating so much. Horny for ice skating. Okay, let's move on. What's your next moment, Meta?
Oh, God. Wow. I want to talk about Kevin A. Maz and just his existence. No, I want to talk about, like, Autumn Classic, because, first of all, he killed it. I'm so proud of him. Seeing him on that podium made me happy in a way that I didn't know I needed in my life. Next to Yuzu, above Keegan, it was just, I did not expect Kevin to pull through the way he did. His new programs are both so great.
And it's like, okay, he is a skater who understands what he does well, and then he does it well, if not better. And I think Sylvia, one of his choreographers, is also a huge force in this. We stand Sylvia. He's like, oh, you liked horns? You like it when I do sexy, weird, like, slappy shit? I'm going to do that again. He comes out with blonde tips, which I guess are gone now, and according to the Twitters, Jackie Wong just did an interview with him where he gets to talk about it.
Yeah, on the Ice Talk podcast, which you guys are probably listening to, but if you're not, you should go listen to it. Yeah, it's a topic of discontent. Kevin Amos is here. He's always beautiful. I miss the blonde.
God, he's beautiful. Personally. He skated to Prince, which is honestly like a dream come true. And the only issue I have with it is that the Prince estate is super, 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 super finicky about that music ever being on the internet. So it's one of those tracks you skate to and then you never get to watch it on YouTube, much like whenever a skater skates to the Beatles, which I know Nina loves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not complaining about the Beatles, but I'm very much bitter that I can't like watch Kevin's new program like whenever I want.
He also, his free skate is in a controversial costume. It's like a turquoise and magenta ombre.
I fucking love mock it turtleneck. So much.
I love it.
I think it's great. I think it's beautiful. I love texture on ice. I love vibrant colors on ice. I think he looks adorable in it. And you know I'm bored of every single boy wearing a fucking button-up. He's out there. He's very vibrant and saturated and making this fun, interesting choice.
I agree. I like that it's textured for your pleasure. I think I love the colors so, 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 so much. Let men wear bright, crazy colors. My only complaint is, why a mock turtleneck? Why not go all the way? Full turtleneck, all the way up. Maybe a hood.
Turtlenecks all the way down. I wonder if it's... I wonder if it's like a mobility thing, because I know that like sometimes when it's really cold at my rank, I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna wear a turtleneck because like it keeps you warm without being like a scarf that like gets in the way. It's actually harder to move in that and it gets like constricting, so I wonder if it's like just like a practicality thing of like full turtleneck would not be great for like a layback.
Yeah, his chest hair needs to breathe. Now, can I ask a dumb question that I will absolutely cut but just popped into my head? What came first, the mock turtleneck or the mock turtle? Is a mock turtle a real thing or is it just a Lewis Carroll thing?
I think...
I'm gonna Google it.
I'm not... Moving on now. Oh yeah, behind the paywall there is 5 minutes of us wondering... What came first, the mock turtle or the mock turtleneck? We did get down to the bottom of it. So for $5 on Patreon, patreon.com/ICTpod, you can get that. Anyway, Kevin Amos.
Okay, so here's where the whole, like, we were all riding this high of like, oh my God, Kevin Amos came out and like showed the fuck up, right? And then, okay, the fan news came out and were like rip shit. Okay, they lost their minds because Yuzu's PCS, or I genuinely, I cannot even tell you what exactly they were mad about. I think it was that his PCS was too low and Kevin's was too high.
He won, but he didn't win enough.
He won, but he didn't win enough. And like, I'm sorry, but like, if a kid won like a school contest but didn't win enough and was like bitching because he didn't win enough, like, you would put that kid in their room and you'd be like, stop being a dipshit, kid. That's what parents
do. Fun news, like, sometimes, not always, some of you are great people and we...
I mean, we're fan news in that we are fans, yeah, of Yuzu.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to think that I'm not insane and, like, weeping under, like, a Winnie the Pooh, like, plush hat, but...
Winnie the Pooh Plushenko. Winnie the Plushenko. That's a...
Oh, that's horrible. No, what I was trying to say is, I mean this in the loveliest way possible. Take this as an intervention. Sometimes the way a certain amount of people react to Yuzu's scores when he does win, but he doesn't win the way they want him to win, it reminds me of the first Harry Potter book/movie when Dudley gets 30 whatever presents. But he had 30 whatever plus one more last year.
No, no, that's exactly what it is.
It's down to like the numbers we're talking about. We're talking about numbers in like the 30s and 40s. And it's not him.
It's not even Yuzu complaining. It's like his fans. So it, for to me, like what it reminds me of is like helicopter parents whose kid is like already the smartest kid in the school, is already into their dream college, got the highest score on the first practice test of the year that won't even count towards anything, but they're mad that they only got 105 and not 107 because the one extra credit question didn't count and that some other kid was overscored and was too close to their kid. Like, it just drives me insane. It's like being a sore winner is something that you learn you shouldn't do when you're a child. And it's like, now there's this whole thing of like hashtag shame on the ISU, unfair ISU. And I'm like, of all the things you could get mad at the ISU about, like the racism and the lack of support for, like, you know, developing feds or whatever you want to say, or like the sexual assault allegations, any number of things. I genuinely don't think that a lack of support for the undisputed best of all time, two-time Olympic gold medalist Yuzuru Hanyu should be the thing that you're mad about.
Want to know a secret? I got one of the, like, unfair ISU whatever tweets promoted, like as a sponsored tweet on my private Twitter, where I don't follow, like, almost any figure skating, and I just muted them. I get what you're trying to do, and I respect it, but I just don't have the space for that in my life. And like you said, there is many things to be mad about. This is not one of them.
Get mad that Satoko Miyahara gets the PCS of, like, a novice child. Like, don't get mad that Yuzu isn't winning by enough. That's outrageous. Or do get mad about it, but don't make it other people's problem. Don't fight with other people.
Don't be embarrassing about it.
Yes. Anyway, that was challenging to me because it challenged my patience. It challenged my patience for the fan news, and it challenged my belief that maybe we would have to wait a few years before we saw the real true ascension of Amaz. Maybe we don't have to wait a few years. Maybe it's now.
That is beautiful.
Okay. Anyway, that all took place at the Autumn Classic, which was the first Challenger Series. And the Challenger Series is, like, not even the Grand Prix Series. So all this to say that it was just, like, the very beginning, right? Another really important thing that happened at the Autumn Classic, which to me always feels like the first day of eighth grade when everyone comes back and you're like, who got boobs over the summer? Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes literally, but sometimes figurative boobs, like a new costume or a slappy new program. The person who I was most excited to see was Evgenia Medvedeva, who is probably my favorite lady skater, if I had to pick one, just based on who I get most hype about and most emotional about, and whose name is part of a pun on my Twitter handle the most. So I was so excited to see her programs. She announced what they were going to be so early that we've had so long to, like, get excited about them. And she came out, she did her Muse program, she did Exogenesis, and everyone was like, too many people doing Exogenesis. She did the most gorgeous Exogenesis. It's Averbuch choreography.
Yeah.
Some people don't like it, some people do like it. I'm into it. I think those two are a winning combo. I loved Averbuch's choreo for Ali of last year. I love the choreo for this. It's my favorite moment is her little, like, Vogue moment where it's like the music kind of comes down and it's just that little, like, do, 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 do. And she's just kind of, like, doing, like, these little, like, isolated, like, Vogue-y fashion pose moments. Love that. She's doing it in a jumpsuit, which I think everybody was just sort of gagged about.
But no, I know I mentioned it earlier when we were talking about, like, tendrils and flaps. I think it's so cool. And we've been seeing, like, several jumpsuits with the ladies this year. Like, Nicole Schott wore one at Neverhorn, and there's, like, a bunch of others. I'm super into them. I do love, like, a gorgeous flowy skirt, like, always. But I think there's something very nice and, like, powerful about seeing a jumpsuit.
Can I also just, like, for 1 second be a weeb and say that when I was watching Yuri on Ice, whenever I watched it, that one costume that Yuri Plesetsky wears where he has the little flaps coming off, I always used to get nervous. It was a cartoon. It wasn't, like, a real thing. But I used to get nervous that he was going to trip on the ones coming off of the legs. Or, like, the feet. And I was like, well, that would never fly in real life because he would trip on that. But meanwhile, and then Jenya, being the massive weeb she is, comes out in, like, the same costume but in blue. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess she's not going to trip because...
She's like, plot twist, bitch. Yes.
Plot twist. And her memoirs of a geisha. How do we feel about that?
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like I need more time to think about it because it's one of those conversations that I feel like is very multi-layered because the story of the geisha culture in, like, Western pop culture is very different from, like, historically what it was and meant socially and just, like, where it fell in history and society. Having said all of that, Memoirs of a Geisha as a thing that exists is an American film based on, I believe, an American book. So I think there's layers upon layers of, like, I'm not gonna jump the gun and be like, well, it's appropriative because she's appropriating geisha culture. Because she's not, because she's so many degrees far removed from any genuine geisha performance that it's hard to even consider it offensive because the offending has been done so many steps back, if that makes any sense.
No, it's, yeah, I agree that I'm not, I don't feel, like, equipped to get into the whole, like, is it appropriation thing. Here's what I'll say. Satoko has skated to this before, and as a Japanese woman, if she felt okay skating to it, now granted, do we trust her judgment as far as that sort of thing goes, given the previous conversation? I don't know, but I just feel like, if a major, if, you know, like, the queen of, the current, like, reigning queen of Japanese skating is doing it, well, it's not, like, totally unheard of. Second, if we take out all of the fucked upness of, like, the of Memoirs of a Geisha specifically, and just say, Evgenia Medvedeva is skating to a piece of Japanese music that is, like, very Japanese, and that's the only thing we say about it, I'm okay with that because she is not just a weeb, she's, like, constantly talking about how much she loves Japan. She's doing it as a tribute to Japan. She, and I think I would put Alina in this category too. Like, there are some skaters who just, like, because it's getting so big in Japan and they've spent so much time there, I really trust that they have a very genuine appreciation and love for all aspects of the culture. And I trust her, honestly, with that. And I trust that she went out of her way to get a Japanese designer to do her costume. And yeah,
there was some, like, controversy about that costume. And, like, it was literally done by a Japanese person. Which, again, like, I'm not saying that a Japanese person is infallible when it comes to, like, adapting this clearly Japanese traditional-inspired dress. But it's not like she went to her, like, Russian friend Olga who can sew and was like, make me a geisha. Like, that's not what happened. I think, for better or worse, and that's maybe one of the grander conversations we should be having, in figure skating, a lot of the times, music gets chosen because it sounds pretty, and that's it. There's a lot of, in this particular season, you can keep going and chipping away at it because there's Japanese people skating to Middle Eastern music, or, like, Russian people skating to, like, what seems to be Egyptian-inspired music. You have all kinds of weird cultural exchange that some people would see as problematic or see as, like, appropriative. And the tea is that figure skating as a culture has not gotten to a place where we can have those conversations, not because the people, like, the separate audience members are not smart enough, but because the people making those choices, the people making choreography choices and music choices and costume choices spend their lives at an ice rink and have not had the time on the internet and at liberal art colleges to have those conversations. So it's like, does this music sound pretty? Do I like where it comes from? Let's go for it. And that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse for anyone in any of the choices. But I'm just saying, it's not like, well, they knew it's bad and they did it anyway. Like, it's just, people have 5 CDs. They have, you know, Claire de Lune and the Moonlight Sonata and Memoirs of a Geisha. And you pick one of them and you skate to it. Like, you know?
Yeah, I think most of these people are very, very young. Most of these people are very sheltered and don't have, like, I mean, we're starting to see skaters go to, like, Ivy League schools, right? But, like, for the most part, these skaters don't get a chance to really even go to, like, real high school or be around a ton of lots of different, various, diverse people. So, like, I don't agree with some or a lot of the things they do, but I don't blame them for not having the wisdom to know.
And I can guarantee that, like, for Zhenya, even though she's, you know, in Canada now and, like, all of that, for her it's as simple as, I love Japan. Japan seems to love me. This is a movie about Japan. I'm gonna do this because the music's pretty.
Exactly. And I think it's coming from such a pure place that, I don't know. I mean, I'm not Japanese, so what do I know? If you're Japanese and it upsets you, that's super valid. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I think just from a purely aesthetic standpoint, the costume looks like a lot. Like, it looks like it's overwhelming her a little, but it is pretty.
Regardless of culture it comes from or anything, it could be like, I don't know, like she's skating Romeo and Juliet in like Renfair Juliet costume or something. My feelings would be the same. I think it's very, very pretty, and it reads very pretty on the eyes, and it looks gorgeous in pictures. I love the colors. It looks so heavy! And she moves in it fine, but it just looks like it's a lot of work.
Who knows if it's going to change? We don't know. Could get tailored, could get swapped out, we don't know. But all this to say, I think it's a beautiful program, and I just loved seeing her, and I'm just excited that she's continuing to, you know, go strong, and looks like she's having an easier time than she did last season toward the beginning. I mean, to see where she's come in a year is, like, inspiring. So this challenged my... It challenged my brain because it really made me think about issues of cultural appropriation and all of the stuff we just talked about. It was a real thinker. So I wanted to use Zhenya to transition into my final moment, which is another Russian woman, Liza Tukhtemisheva, the Empress herself. She's already gone on such a journey so early in the season, and she's been there and back, to quote The Hobbit, I guess. I don't know about that. All of that Tolkien stuff, but
It is The Hobbit. Anyway, carry on about Liza.
She came out and was like, I'm doing Florence, and it's gonna be Shailene Bourne, Florence and the Machine doing drumming song, and we were so hyped because it's like Florence and the Machine, ha 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 ha, but also we love Florence, and it's like, sounds like a dream, right? Then we get the fucking rug pulled out from under us, and we see that she has competed at whatever her first competition of the Challenger season was back in a million years ago, comes out and she's like, actually, I'm skating it to a fucking boring ass Piazzolla tango ass shit. And it was dumb because you could see exactly what Shailene meant to do with drumming song. And drumming song has all these lyrics that are like drumming inside my head, and all of these times in the choreo where she touches her head like, oh wow, I hear something in my head, and it didn't work with the music. And it's like, I don't know if it was her choice, I don't know if it was Mishin's choice, I don't know whose choice it was, but it was a bad choice because it's a fundamental misunderstanding of what a choreographer does if you think it's just stringing together movements that can go to any song.
Yep.
At Danielle Gleichengaus.
I think we know.
I'm kicking a dead horse now, but luckily, at a small Russian competition, I believe last week, she brought back the Florence and the Machine music, and everything just felt better. I just felt like I could breathe easier. The tension in my shoulders relaxed. I felt like it was just, the world was a better place. And you could see exactly the brilliance of Shailene's choreo. And apparently she just did it again like 5 minutes ago at Finlandia.
I would like to see it. Also, it's not just drumming song. It's like a very cool version where it starts with a soft acoustic version of it, and then it kicks in fully at like the perfect spot in the choreo. It's so good. Speaking of that, can I just say that I know I said it at the top of this. Andrei Luzukin skated so beautifully at Finlandia today as well. His new short program is to Mag the Knife. He looks so charming. And like, friend of the pod, Daniel coded like a honeypot for PCS. It's just full of those tiny moments. It's very, very cute. I'm so very excited for him. Especially that, like, you know, now that Misha is resting because of his sinuses, anything could happen with Russian men. And that's very exciting.
Just like when I went backpacking through Europe, anything could happen with Russian men. Wink. Just kidding. Never did that. Anyway, good for Liza, and that challenged me to say, you know what, you could trust that things could get better, and then they did.
Is that everything we wanted to say? I feel like we went on so many tangents.
That doesn't sound like something we would do, though.
All of them were important, though.
They were. So that was the Challenger series so far. So one thing that we've been just following with bated breath is the best thing that happens on French figure skating Twitter is May Berenice Mete's extremely public crush on Shoma Uno, which dates back to, I mean, I don't know how long it dates back, but her confession dates back to like World Team Trophy when she was like, I have to just confess it. I have to come out and say it. I think Shoma is cute. And we were all like, same. And so this, but it's been out of control. This last week, I think she said she said something about him having an angel face. And then
someone suggested she go sit with him in the kiss and cry at the IDF. And she was like, I'm not going to do that. Well, he's going to be by himself, though. So someone was like, he's going to need support.
I just want them to be friendos. And she also, like, I guess they were playing his routine at her rink and she like took a picture of it and was like, look who's here. I live for this. Like, I
think it's so pure.
To have the courage to have an extremely public crush on somebody that I might actually meet in real life.
Yeah.
I have a lot of extremely public crushes on this podcast, but I'm never going to meet any of those people in real life.
Yeah, I don't know how I would deal with. She's so brave. I think what we're saying is she's so brave.
I think that if I was as unbelievably hot as MB Mete, though, I would feel brave, too.
Oh, yeah. I would walk around and be like, hi, you, I have a crush on you. And just expect people to be like, okay.
Seriously. Okay. Well, anyway, so we, like, love and respect her. And, like, please keep representing all of us by having an extremely public crush on Shoma Uno. This has been a public service announcement. My Berenice Mete has an extremely public crush on Shoma Uno.
And we support it so, so wholeheartedly. I can speak. Is this everything we want to say this week?
I think so. Let's do a sign off. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we hope you come back next week for the exciting premiere of the Grand Prix series.
Yes, I'm so excited. I cannot wait. I'm literally counting days and hours at this point.
Me too. Woof. If you want to watch us count down days and hours and comment on the minute goings on of everything on social media, where can they do that, Netta?
Well, they can find me at Netta Marie, that's NEDA, and then Marie, like every single Marie you can think of, on Instagram and Twitter. Also, you can find me at @N_ice skating, where I post my very shaky crossroads if you want to see me skate. Megan, where are you on the internet?
I am on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Kelleher 3. That's MEGHANKELLEHER 3. And we also have social media that we both post on as the podcast.
Yeah, you can play a game of trying to guess which one of us is posting on our social
media.
It's
so easy.
At IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find us and more bonus content on Patreon. That's patreon.com/IcedPod. You can tell your friends about us on fucking MSN Messenger, if that still exists. Thank you so much for listening. Before we go, I would like to thank Danny, Jordan, and Jules for your support before it was even official. We appreciate you so very much.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.